Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, music critic and author Robert Hilburn. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, also a music critic, if you count ranting about Prince, Robert Palmer, and the Beastie Boys, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share, man. I see the ratings every week, and they went up last week. So thank you for sharing. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. Big dude, angry dude, and he's yelling. Big dude.
Angry dude.
All right. I had a great day. I had a good non-working lots of eating weekend.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was nice. Went to Catalina. Went there with my daughter and Norm Pattis and a few other folk. And he's got a speedboat.
It like breaks the sound barrier. That
yeah, it's
thing
like
is fast.
60 mile an hour. And it's first things first. Everyone should be like me. And I'll tell you why.
Mahalo.
Everything realized. Why everyone needs to be like the Ace Man. First, I'll tell you, I want to thank Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Appreciate that. And Blinds Galore. Go to blindsgalore.com. Let them know I sent you. MedMen, medmen.com. Let them know I sent you. And Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. All right. So, why everyone needs to be like me is Norm was bragging about his boat. He knows I'm a gearhead, although I don't know marine applications very well. It's a little different. And he said, got a couple of like Cummings or Caterpillar, I can't remember what it was, diesel, whatever, making 900 horsepower each, supercharged. And I said, mostly it's turbocharged. And these ones are supercharged. That's interesting. And he went, oh, no, turbocharged.
Gotcha.
Which is, I didn't go, you're wrong, or shut up, old man, or I know what I'm doing, or anything. I just went, huh, that's interesting. If you start your wrongs with, interesting. Normally it's this way. Then the person will correct themselves without you guys getting into a shouting match.
No.
Hauling ass over to Catalina, went to Emerald Bay, which is beautiful, and it is emerald. I mean, it is beautiful, crystal clear, green water.
That's awesome.
And me and my daughter and her friend were like diving off the boat and chugging around in the water and swimming to see the fishies. And it was really beautiful, man. The water was warm.
Ugh.
It was crazy.
I've never been to Catalina.
You don't have to go.
No.
Don't go.
Thanks.
Or go. Like, what do I care?
What happens if you
go? Got to go.
Well, some people say, if you've been once, that's enough. And some people are like, no, it's magical. What do you mean? Go as often as you can.
Well,
it helps to have the boat and the, you know, the access.
Yeah.
Considering it's a 26 miles away and it's an island, and you know, it's not exactly Maui, but it ain't chicken liver.
Like a bison.
The water's clear and the food's good. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of cool for considering how close it is. The fact that I go once every 17 years is probably weird. You should probably try to spool it up a little bit and do it every twice a year. Yes.
You know, the Wrigley family used to own Catalina? And they would have like exhibition games out there?
I did not know about the baseball part, but I did remember hearing that story. Yeah. So there's something soothing, cathartic, and whatever else about just diving into the ocean. Mm-hmm. It's not swimming pools fine, but the ocean and just sort of swimming around. And especially if you're doing it with your daughter, it's fun, and the mask and the snorkel and everything else. Now, I was then put out of my majestic mood because one of the guys on the boat was muckety muck over at Staples Center. And I said, last time I went to Staples Center, as soon as I walked out the exit door, there were a whole bunch of guys selling hot dogs on your property. That seems curious to me. Like, the whole thing's a little curious. Like, hey, we're just selling food we made ourselves out in the middle of...
Out of a shopping cart.
Yes, in the most highly regulated area in the world. Like, if they did a thing where they did like a pinpoint, you know, maybe the Vatican beats us.
The
but
LA Life compound.
You
don't
but for get, domestic regulation.
Yeah, I was doing Ace on the House earlier today, and a guy called in and he said, hey, remember I was talking to you about building a new house, and we do geothermal, and geothermal's the way to go, and it saves a lot of money, and it's always great, and we do the heating and the cooling with the geothermal. And I go, yeah, I'm interested. And then he called back today. We'll play it later in the week, but he called back later and he's like, yeah, I talked to my boss and he said, not in California.
Of course.
I'm like, of course. Well, all we want to do is save the planet, except we're here, a whole bunch of regulations, and you can't save the planet. So it's like, it's this weird thing where it's like, what do you like? Well, we like saving the planet.
Great.
Okay. What do we like more than saving the planet? Imposing regulations on taxpayers.
That's our sweet spot.
That's really, I mean, we like saving the planet, but we love regulations. So it's like, well, how do we balance that?
Right.
And years ago, I was going to get solar. I was doing a house up in the hills. I'm going full solar, blah, blah, blah. And then a few solar guys came out, and then it was a story about, well, you need the main cutoff switch outside of the front gate. And it's like, well, that is 350 feet from the panel. Yep. And you got to trench down 2 feet. You make a trench that's a football field long and bury the stuff and cat whatever, Romex, whatever. And I was just like, God, it sounds like a ton of money just to get the stupid shutoff switch to the outside of the gate. And they're like, yeah, everywhere else they put the shutoff switch on the panel. Well, that sounds cheaper
that
and easier. Yeah, and doable. And they're like, yeah, but LA has a thing where it has to be outside the gate. And I'm like, why? And they're like, I don't know. Like, it's safer. Well, is it safer? I don't know. The firemen just go to the panel and shut off the solar, or whatever it is. And they're like, yeah, everyone else does that. But
what are you going to do?
Not in LA. So what are you going to do? And I was like, well, I'm going to burn kilowatts then that are made by a coal-fired power plant because I'm not going to go to this extra expense and trouble, especially when it's unnecessary. Yep. And so now the place that loves green everything is going to have one more house that's right in the middle of the grid.
You de-incentivize people.
Of course. So we got a lot of rules, and I'm not – we got more rules for food. There's two things we have rules for in California. Building a residential home anywhere near the ocean and food. You want to open a restaurant or you want to move out with Julia Roberts and get some acreage in Malibu and throw yourself up a lean-to. No can do the lean-to.
So, I'm going to open an oceanside restaurant. Forget it. Oh, that's double trouble.
Right. So I say to the guy, kind of half expecting an answer, like, you got all these dudes. The dudes are, and ladies as well, they're 8 feet from the door on the property, and they're selling food that they made at home or in an apartment in Pacoima. How is this working? And he just looks at me and he went, ugh. God damn. And I'm like, oh, good. But wait a minute. Is this something you don't want to happen? I mean, you, the Staples Center with all these big you guys got the Kings, you got the Clippers, you got the Lakers, you got the Sparks, you got all these big concerts and stuff. Like, I mean, I don't know what you guys pay in taxes, but I'm sure the city's glad to have you.
On top of that, they were responsible for the revitalization of downtown. Yeah. There was nothing around the
LA line.
Right. And he's like, yeah, can't. I mean, I wish we could do something. I'm like, what do you do? And he's like, well, I get my guys out there to try to shoo them away, but they just come back. And I'm like, now they start putting kids, thinking they wouldn't bother the kids. Then he whips out his phone, shows me a picture of a hot dog grill with a huge cockroach being cooked.
Nope.
Being cooked on top of the thing. Then he goes on to explain, he's had a few propane tanks blow up and one guy caught on fire.
I can see that.
And I'm like, yeah, so you can't talk to the LA city? They're not going to do anything. I thought, well, first off, I don't know. Do you get to just randomly decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do? Like, if we just have rules and they're just laws, like, you don't do that with the building inspector, do you? Like, hey, we need the shutoff switch on the other side of the gate at the Corolla place. Well, not today.
Yeah.
Or is it just a rule? And then when it's a rule, you just enforce it. Sort of, I don't care what your personal feelings are, or if you have some friends in the community that are selling. Your job is to sort of do your job, which if you notice, we have lost touch of that completely with this. Here's what the rules are, and then here's what we're going to do, unless it involves not paying taxes, and then we come down on you like a bear trap. But this guy's just like, yeah, someone's going to get killed or get botulism or get whatever. And I was like, I can't believe you can't just tell the LAPD you're not. And he's like, well, first things first, the ACLU is going to make a bunch of noise and it's going to be protesting. And I'm like, when did this become the jurisdiction of the ACLU? Like, what? Look, I get the ACLU, but every single person who's poor, who does something illegal, you don't have to defend.
Yeah.
There can be poor people that are doing things that are dangerous or break the law or whatever it is. And you don't feel the need
to step in.
To just step in and go, who's got more money? Well, the Staples Center. Okay, who's got less money? Hot dog guy. Well, all right, we picked our side.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you can't base it on who's got more money, who's got less money all the time.
Well, isn't Staples afraid of the liability they take on if a propane tank blows up on their property and kills somebody?
Yeah, but they're also scared of the L.A. Council and cries of racism and the ACLU and marching and, you know, whatever, just getting thrown on the other side of that unpopular. Right. Everything's race-based now, and now you're taking on the Hispanic culture and blah, blah, blah. So whether it's serving food that folks have made somewhere else that's unregulated completely, or whatever's on the business end of a gas-fired leaf blower, that plume that you walk through of toxic dust, those should be two things. Those are two rules that are on the book, and they shall not be enforced because we don't like the optics of it. Now, I would sort of claim that that's a weird, its own weird form of racism. Like, it's just either there's a rule or there's not a rule. It's not really, we don't really care the ethnic makeup of the person breaking the rule. That now you're getting it in, now you're getting it into a racist thing. If you just go, I don't know what percentage use leaf blowers versus, you know, taco carts or whatever, but either way, whatever the rule is, the rule didn't have a color in mind. It
we'll
had an activity
the law based
in
on
mind.
Who's breaking it or following it.
It'd be nice. Sort of. I mean, that part where the justice lady's got the sleeping mask over her face, Miss Naparoo taking another nap.
A little snooze.
I'd say that blind part is for things like this. Yeah. That's me. But he showed me a picture of a giant cockroach being cooked on top of the thing.
I forgot this taking place in Catalina. This conversation.
Oh, yeah. I was
splashing around you.
I was immediately angry again, sitting in the most majestic sea ever, sitting on a boat. I was immediately brought back to downtown LA and angered. And then the other thing, too, that no one really realizes is when they go, like, These are just a bunch of hardworking folks that are trying to get ahead. Like, what's wrong with that? Oh, no. There's a pimp.
What?
Oh, yeah. Well, think about it.
There's a foreman?
LFA.
Their vans, like, show up at the end of the street. It's organized, meaning somebody is taking the Vic.
Oh.
Think about this. Yeah. How long, you know, when the kids and the wives are out there, what do they make? They're going to flat rate of $50 a night. They're not pocketing. That money's going back into the hopper, right? So some guy, probably a Jew. I don't speak about race. But I know for sure.
You know what the odds are.
Some guy's pimping these kids and women out. There's a pimp. He's getting the van. He's prepping everything in Sun Valley. He's fronting for the Oscar Mayer dogs and the cheap bacon or whatever. He's doing the whole thing, and they're just reporting to him. So now it's the worst thing ever, which is these poor people are still poor people. No taxes taken out. No health care. No regulation. Yeah. Now, and they're being exploited. Maybe ACLU could get involved with that side of it, because he said it's very organized. It's not catch-as-catch-can wandering in.
That would explain, so I go to a lot of USC games, and the carts are all out there afterwards. It would explain why they're every, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 yards, whatever it is, as opposed to 10 for every, 20 yards.
Yeah, just scattered.
Yeah, like people have corners, I guess. Right. So they have, territory. Like, where are we going to put so many people here? That would actually explain
Wow.
That.
Yeah, and you don't see, like, turf wars or something like that.
Very
because the Don has taken care of that. So it's just weird. It's weird when you think there must be something and there's nothing.
Yeah.
And now it's even worse than I thought. So there you go, LA.
My only thought, I've never had a street dog before.
Really,
and the only thing that really freaks me out is every single person says the same thing. Oh, man, the first time I got food poisoning from one of those, I'm like, everyone goes back. It doesn't matter. You always go back.
You regret it every time.
I don't. I like the free market. I like the idea that you're taking care of things. I trust that they're going to do a good job and it behooves them. And I'm all for everything. Except for, as this guy said, we have 19 like food retailers around here that are paying top dollar per square foot in taxes and have to play by the rules and couldn't possibly compete. So my whole feeling is L.A., look, fine, leave him alone. Now open up the guy running the sandwich shop in the brick and mortar over there and let him compete. But you can't make his life hell and turn a blind eye to this activity. And once again, the person paying the taxes is the one that gets punished in this equation. But anyway. All right. So that ruined my trip.
Oh.
Other than that, fantastic. There's a...
What day was that? Saturday or Sunday?
That was Sunday.
We went to the ocean on Sunday, too. The waves were huge, at least in Malibu, where we went. Couldn't even go in the... tiptoed in the water, and Tessa was having none of it. Way too big. Much bigger than her.
Were they crashing on... Was it a shore break?
Yeah, meaning what? What does that mean?
Breaking on the
really
shore?
Close to the shore.
Yes, they were.
You can't surf them.
Yeah, no. No, in fact, you could not. They were crashing right up all the way, almost all the way up to where the sand ends. You know what I'm saying? All the way up.
Yeah, so
tide was
sure.
In. Tide was in, so to speak.
Breaking on the shore.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
I went to another drive-in movie this weekend. I can't stop. This time's Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm.
So much fun.
Look, how high is everybody?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Oh, everyone's drunk and high and bringing their old, like, beater vintage cars, and they want to be up front. It's kind of a car show, too. It was great.
Do people speak back the words to the screen? Do they do that?
No, they do. Yeah, I took that picture. Somebody painted the back of their windshield. Large Marge sent us. No, but this is the most charming thing, because I'd never been to a drive-in movie before last weekend, and they interview people up front.
Francis Buxton.
Oh, so I want to make a quick I forgot about this picture they posted I took, but I have a quick thing to say about it. But when, instead of applauding, everybody honks their horn.
Oh.
It's adorable.
Wait, how do they do the sound?
You tune to the radio station, or you can rent headphones. But everybody just tunes to the radio station because everyone's in their car. I noticed something interesting about Francis Buxton, the chubby guy who named Chubby
also,
or whatever in Teen Wolf.
In Teen Wolf, Chubbs.
Chubbs. Yeah. I remember him as a little kid by being just a morbidly obese, big, fat guy in the character when I was little.
He's a chubby guy by today's standards.
He looks normal.
He's a slightly chubby dude. Yeah,
he looks perfectly normal, like what you've seen now.
When we were kids, he was obese.
He was obese, and now I'm like, well, that's just a dude.
No, look, the novelty of seeing... Well, first off, they had the circus fat lady, mm-hmm. And the novelty of just going to the supermarket with a kid and just seeing a 200-pound plus woman like pushing the stroller, pushing her cart, just be like, oh my God, look at her. Like, oh, you'd call your friend over, like, go around the back seat, from the back side, whatever. It's just pretty ubiquitous now. And thus, all the people we thought like Curly from the Three Stooges or the big fat ones or whatever, just not really fat anymore, which is not a good sign. Maybe there's some connection to all those street dogs. I don't know. anyway, that was sad to learn, but not
surprising.
Not surprising. I wanted to ask you guys about the seventh grade. My kids are going, seventh grade, Brian. Oh. Which Brian is it? Which Brian?
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah. I got thoughts.
I thought my kids are going off to the seventh grade in a day. And they're pretty pumped. Like, they're excited about it. Yeah. My daughter's excited. My son's like kind of lukewarm on it, but they're going and they're cool. They're excited to see their friends or their orientation and blah, blah, blah. And here's a blah, 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 blah. And they're like good on it. And I was thinking to myself, I think seventh grade had to be like bottoming out for me and on my misery index, which was always at a 7.5. Mm-hmm. It could have spiked up to 9.9 in the seventh grade. But I thought it's a bad time for a boy. It's a bad time for a girl. It's probably worse for a girl. I want to know. I want to know what if you could kind of tell me where you're at, where your parents were at, where your family was at, what you did in the sixth grade, how seventh grade worked. I'd like to know. I'm curious about this. I feel like it's super. I did not. When I went to high school and I started in the 10th grade, I had some of these feelings, but not like the seventh grade.
It was a tidal wave.
Yes. First, let me tell you about Blinds Galore. You guys get ready with your stories. BlindsGalore.com. The first place you buy custom window treatments online. Trust me, they know what they're doing. I've used them. We've used them here the whole time. We use them at home. Dr. Drew has a whole set at his house. I think the Porcelain Punisher uses them as well. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements. And if you screw it up, they'll fix it. Even in this case, Matt screwed up his measurement. They still fix it. They don't make anything until you order it. Nothing off the rack. Have them in the studio. Have them in the edit bays. Man, when it's hot, it really keeps the heat out, too. And you save a ton compared to big box stores. They got a team of experts. They'll guide you through every step of the way, online or over the phone. And they'll set up free samples and free shipping. It's Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
BlindsGalore.com makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know that Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
All right, who'd like to start with their miserable seventh grade life?
Well, Brian, you saw the movie Eighth Grade, right?
Yes, I did.
And I saw it too. And my whole thing, I was watching, I thought it was excellent, really well done, really dramatic and in all the right ways. But I thought, it really should be called seventh grade. Mm-hmm. I really thought that was the more horrific year than eighth grade.
That's fair.
But I think Natalia and Sunny specifically will be just fine. But
yeah, they will.
In terms of a young Gina in seventh grade, my parents freshly divorced. Everything was a total mess. And when you go to this new, bigger school with other kids pouring in from their schools, I feel like people got meaner and split more severely into their social groups quickly and like without realizing it. So all the kids you played with in fifth and sixth grade, all of a sudden one comes back with a dye job, one has a nose ring, everyone's cool. And you're like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So between that and the grads at each other's throats, even with friends, it still felt very isolating.
Mm-hmm. What kind of student were you?
Not great.
Mm-hmm.
The things I liked, like communications and English and all that stuff, was just fine. Everything else, I was. And this is the time that you could tell your student's parents that the kid was dumb.
Right.
And that the kid was really going to need to think of some alternate options. So not terribly smart. And the things I loved and embraced in high school and college and beyond, theater and public speaking and all that stuff, way too shy and embarrassed to do that little dip in seventh and eighth grade. So just a really stumbling time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how I felt, Brian.
Very similar. So middle school for me, 6th, 7th, 8th, which I think is pretty universally today.
Ours is just 7, 8.
Okay, so 6, 7, 8 was for me, was a paradigm of misery. At least 6th grade was like, oh, this is all new. And at least 8th grade is like, oh, well, at least there's high school to look forward to. 7th grade was, oh my God, this is going to go on forever. This is the worst time of my life, and it never is going to end. I had, I'll say, 2 friends. All I had to look forward to was Little League and on my baseball cards. And then I had crippling undiagnosed, I wrote about this in my New York Times bestselling book, Shrinkage. I had a crippling undiagnosed ADHD. I don't think ADHD was even a thing
back
then.
Me too.
But it was ruining my life. I was a terrible student. I was put on a program where I had to have like homework checklist. Like I had to bring my checklist and my teacher and like that to sign off. Like, yes, Brian was assigned homework today. Yep, then my parents had to sign it. Brian did his homework today.
Oh, my parents never signed it, but yeah.
And I was in 5th grade. I was selected for this program called GATE, right? Gifted and Talented Education. I was like put in the advanced class, but I kept getting these worse and worse grades as I went on because I had this ADHD that no one knew what it was at the time or no one decided to test me for. So I'm getting worse and worse grades. I'm like, you're smart. Why aren't you getting good grades? I'm like, I don't know. I would love to get good grades. Why do you keep losing your glasses? I don't know. I would love to not lose my glasses. But it was a miserable time where no one knew what was wrong and it just got worse.
You were never put on Ritalin?
Nope.
We were put on
never
the dinosaur of Ritalin.
Never
just sort
tested.
Of sitting in the corner drooling going, huh?
What I wouldn't have given.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how
so
do you
do great.
What happened to your ADHD?
It's rampant. Look at him.
Yeah. I don't know. I never had any medication for it. I assume it just kind of evened out as my hormones evened out as I grew up. Like, mm-hmm. I also found things that were interesting to me. I became the editor of my high school paper. I loved journalism. Like, I finally had an avenue to do things that I liked as opposed to math and science and English and whatever. And that was kind of, you know, a little light at the end of the tunnel. Then it was college and then it was, you know, stuff I could look forward to. But I hear, you know, you talk about Sonny and his struggles with homework and things of that nature, and it all comes rushing back. It's like, I don't think Sonny's dumb. I think he probably has some sort of something that sounds familiar as well.
And that's so funny. I totally forgot about that because I was just talking with a friend about this last night, how we used to say when I was really little, I can't hear the teacher. So they thought it was deaf. Mm. And I went to have all these hearing tests and they're like, no, her hearing's fine. But what apparently, you know, what I meant, what a kid's brain is, I can't focus on the teacher. I don't know where that sound is coming from. So I think that's fairly common for those types of kids.
Sonny's just bored. Like I want to do something cool and this is kind of, you know,
you think he'll get into the tactile stuff like the auto mechanics?
No, I don't. But because that stuff shows up early, like you're into it. I just think that there's some, it's like junior high and high school. It's just kind of a bad dream that goes on for years. And some people have the ability to kind of float over their bad dream and go, all right, I'm not going to see these people ever again, or I'll just move on, or I'll just do whatever. Now, I sort of had that, but I had no template. So he sees Uncle Jimmy. He sees his dad doing a podcast. He sees Ninja on playing Fortnite, making $6 million a year online. That guy's 24, you know, and he makes $6 million a year playing Fortnite. And it's like, he has some ideas that are going to have him stocking cans at an Albertsons for the next 1,000 years, but he still has ideas, some sort of template. He lives with a guy who figure out how to make a bunch of money doing a podcast. So already,
that's the blueprint.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Mom, how's the welfare work? You get paid every week or every 2 weeks? Or
you have to go there? Do they deliver it?
Is it a direct deposit option?
Would the food stamp show up with the welfare check, or is that like a separate thing? And then also, a question. Can we buy cat food with the food stamps, or is that just people food? Or can we eat cat food if we can? In fact, these are all questions. Thank you, role model. Thank you. I understand how life works now, but my kids don't have that. So my son has it in his head that, oh, he's going to be a professional sports handicapper or something. You know, he's going to be like Robert De Niro at the end of Casino when he's 19 wearing huge Swifty Lazar glasses and watching 7 TV screens at once with a racing form in his hand.
Watch none of that car on.
But I was just like, my parents were freshly divorced as well. But the thing that the reason my family's a kind of a whole new level is I always have to stop and explain they were not divorced. My dad just left. And he didn't leave like I'm walking out on you, woman. It's like,
see ya when I see ya.
There wasn't any. There was no assets to divide.
Right.
There's no tangible assets, no monetary.
Over.
There's nothing to fight over. We lived in the flop house that my grandmother thought she was going to rent out as an investment. Instead, her flopped out loser daughter just crashed there. So we're just like sitting in this house with the lawn up to here and everything a mess. But grandma wasn't going to do anything about the house, and mama wasn't paying any rent, and dad didn't own anything. So when dad moved out, he just moved out. They didn't have furniture or anything. He didn't have money to move out at you know, 40. He couldn't get an apartment in North Hollywood, which used to be free, like back in the 70s. They'd pay you to squat that apartment. He had to go live at my mom's parents' house.
Oy vey.
And they didn't even have a bedroom. It's not like, well, listen, I'm gonna live out in the pool house. You know, there was no pool house. There was no... They had my grandfather's den where he like watched TV.
So not only was your grandmother supporting your mother, but now your father.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well,
but well, sort of. Yeah, tough. Yeah. But here's the warning, potential mothers to be. If in your kid ends up in Child Protective Services and raised by their grandparents, there may be some initial savings. For you.
Yep,
you know,
yep,
Lynette, yep, are you yep. listening?
That's right. The ledger's going to be in your favor.
God knows what I just spent on back to school. I think I could combine every Christmas and birthday from 0 to 18, and I've just spent that on one kid in back to school stuff. But either way.
Mechanical pencils.
Yes. There will be some initial savings. Again, if Lynette's listening, I want to talk about this as an overall strategy. But big picture.
There's a downside.
Well, if the person makes it to 35 and then is able to reproduce and not able to take care of themselves or the kids or whatever because of the initial savings plan you're on with them, then it could actually cost you more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention the super uncomfortable dinners and holidays
where
and things like
such
that.
Such savings are discussed.
Yes. Big picture, it could cost you more money because that house that you thought was going to be a rental property, thus generating profit, or the flunky decision of a husband that the person made, bad decision with dad, the non-earner, that guy's flopped out on grandpa's sofa, right? So, yes, you save initially.
But at what cost?
Oh, big picture, it's going to cost you. So that's what happened. Eventually, dad got a one-bedroom, whatever, and it was at that point, by the time we got to the seventh grade, my dad was living in his $13,000 Cool Hand Luke sweat box with a dirt lawn in North Hollywood. And my dad doesn't do a good job at making lunches, and he doesn't do a good job at like giving people money to buy their own lunches. So it's a little 0 for 2 and the lunch, like my dad, you wouldn't want my dad doing anything at all or in charge of anything, but especially like your lunch. And also the guy
baloney was, again.
No
baloney
money.
Raisins.
Absolutely. And super tight fisted with money and had no cash. So like, here's 50 cents. And like, that's gone at the snack shack at nutrition at 10 a.m. And then lunch is just a succession of trying to bum food off of this guy or that guy. Are you going to finish that half the sandwich, whatever it is? So it's like the family was just completely coming undone. And there was no money and there's no anything. And I couldn't read or write, which is like, I knew at this next level, someone was going to ask me to read or write or do something. And I was just like, ugh. And then there were the cool kids. And it was a weird mishmash of kids that went to Hawaii and went skiing and like had vacations and had normalness. And and then my hair was a mess. Everything was a mess.
And you never tagged along on any of those vacations, right? You never got that, like, sort of rich foster family on holidays.
Yeah. Friend pass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I did. The first time I went snow skiing, Jeff Buck. He had a family that was intact, and they went skiing, and he took me.
That was nice.
First time I went water
you
skiing.
You just grabbed your skis that you had.
Jeff Buck. Yeah.
Where are the extra skis? No, not those. The extra ones.
The sporty ones.
The motorcycle riding, Chris Bohm, skiing, every activity was somebody else's, right.
hitched somebody else's family.
But yeah, bad grades, really weird and awkward family that was just a disaster. And, you know, I was clearly doing horribly just like out of the gate scholastically, but I didn't want them coming over and snooping around, talking to the teachers. No. They didn't want to come over and snoop around and talk to the teachers. It was a tacit agreement that, look, you don't want to come here. I don't want you to come here. Let's just kind of look the other way. And mixed with a lot of horrible PE coaches. I mean, a lot of hard asses like Mr. Hensley, Mr. Walters and stuff. We were like, used to choke kids out, get them in headlocks. And, you know, it was great. I mean, it was great. Like physically grabbing and getting in headlocks and stuff like that. So weird sort of physical intimidation and horrible shop teachers. And I just remember going, God, when is this ever going to end? And what the hell am I going to do? And how am I going to figure this out? And, I'm trying to think of, you know, Mrs. Wolk and Mr. Hensley and Mrs. Thomas, big sassy black ceramics teacher, and Mr. Spaeth and Mr. Martin, and everything was just a disaster. I was immediately given like math again. Not everyone else was taking geometry and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I just had like math and science, which was not biology. I had to take like the Dumbo.
The generic.
I had to take
call it double O duh.
Generic Dumbo. Yep. And the only thing I remember from that whole period as it pertained to sports for some reason is my dad just got used to like a succession of just horrible report cards. It's like, all right, I get it.
Never came as a shock after the first
can't
couple.
Read, you can't write, like you're doing horribly. But at one time he did look down and he went, how'd you get a D in PE? Like,
oh, I did
that's
that
a
too.
Fair question.
I got an F in PE once.
Why?
Because I didn't wear the uniform, right?
Right.
Green shorts was the dark school color. I didn't wear my green shorts. Another ADHD thing. I kept forgetting to bring them.
Ever?
Like, everybody marked down every day until I failed PE. I went to class every day.
I had green shorts too, and I'd have to bum them from other people's lockers because I didn't have my own PE stuff.
Yeah, that's where having friends is an advantage.
We didn't have a washer dryer at anybody's house, which is weird.
Oh, yeah, because you lived on it.
In the modern times.
That's your bedroom.
So it's like it'd open up the thing and it'd be like, I'd say to like, hey, what's, where's Georgia? Hey, isn't your locker mate? You have locker mates. I'm like, is George Espinoza your locker? Yeah. Where is he? He's not here today. Sweet. Oh, because he told me I could borrow his shorts, and then I'd go out with a pair of shorts that said Espinoza.
Devious.
Like, it was written with a Sharpie Espinoza on the label where you put your name, and then Mr. Hensley like look down and go, "What's up?" And I'd go, "Oh yeah, Espinoza's got mine. He's not here today.
Shorts.
Yeah, you ever see that Reese's peanut butter cup commercial? That's what happened to me and that George Espinoza.
We just head on.
Yeah, we're both on skateboards, like." That was my entire life. Like, I couldn't afford gym clothes or washing them or yearbooks or jackets or everything was a disaster.
But at the very least, and I thought about this through the whole movie of eighth grade, you didn't come home, turn on your computer, and get a tidal wave of how much everybody hates you.
No computers.
You would have never had one anyway.
At the Corolla house. Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere and everyone. Let's drop the labels. Teachers, executives, parents. At MedMen, you are a customer. There's something for everyone. Whether you're new to cannabis or familiar, you got stuff like lotions, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that are incredibly knowledgeable, put you at ease. Get the stuff you need for whatever ails you. And you can check out one of their 8 locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or you go online. You visit them at medmen.com. You find the store nearest you. These things are laid out, lots of glass, big, bright, like a Mac store. MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you, right, Dawson?
And if you visit MedMen, mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
All right. I had a thought. Controversial thought, but I want to know what you guys think. I was pitching it to these guys in the back of the shop last week, and I thought, curious.
Let's hear it.
You tell me. Now, look, open your minds a little bit, dude. Because we're living in a world where it's like the Kardashians are the most famous people and the richest people in the world, according to my daughter, and they all got there from doing like a bootleg porn, or at least Kim did. The mother hen did.
Yeah, it lit the fire.
We're not judging anymore, and you know, publicity is just publicity. You know? Mm. Okay. I mean, Garrigus was telling me that Colin Kaepernick's going to get a big endorsement deal, and we'll have some news on Kaepernick. I think Garrigus got a gag order and blah blah blah, but he thinks something's going to break pretty soon. But you know, we're living in a world where controversy's a good thing.
Right.
You know,
Omarosa worked in the White House.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
A lot on that in the news.
So just open your minds and don't react. Just listen.
At some point, we're going to have to react.
Jared Fogle from Subway, he's going to get paroled. You know, it's coming up, like 2029 or something. Now, when I was young, there was a campaign. Maybe you can find it, Max Zapata. With a name like Smuckers, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
Like, well, we have such a bad name, and we're not going the John Cougar. We're going John Mellencamp here. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But that's how confident we are. We're Smuckers.
In our jelly.
We've got a horrible name, but our product is so good.
Okay.
Subway brings Jared back as their spokesperson.
Bold.
And people go nuts, and they're like, that's how confident we are in our turkey subs. You know what I mean? And meatball, and Italian, and provolone cheese.
Uh-huh.
We are so brimming with confidence. And they go, what? What are you thinking? And you go, exactly.
New tagline.
Exactly.
Line. Yeah, we're that good.
Yeah, we're that good. There's Jared. He's put the weight back on. And you go, what? He's fat. And you go, yes.
Yeah, that's how good we
that's
are.
That's how good we are.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And every time someone goes, this is insane. I can't believe you go, exactly. Or as the Fonz would say, exactamundo. Now.
Do you want me to get Christy on the phone?
If we could evaluate this idea. She knows the business.
From a corporate perspective.
And I'm super confident in this. Now, also, understand, this is not going to be boring old, button down 2018. This is going to be the roaring 2029.
Right.
So, this is going to be a borderless, genderless, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Antifa is going to be in the White House.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Camacho,
there's not, everything's going to be all over the place.
Right.
Gonna be,
frozen head is in its eighth term.
Right. Yeah. There's not going to have rules.
That's right.
There's going to be 1,000 Mexicans selling hot dogs out front of the Staples. There'll be more people outside the Staples Center selling food. They'll be inside the Staples Center. Camacho will be presiding over everyone in the Staples Center. With that context,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
In the world.
You make a pretty solid point. My first thought was, I get it, but I think the only caveat is you can't be a child molester. That being said,
it's very 2015.
The picture you have painted.
See, that's where you get burned.
Perfect sense.
You know?
Like, I'm behind the times.
Well, you go back and you guys are a big retail store and it's 1998 and I'm coming in the room going, we need to have an online presence. You're like, we do catalogs. And I go, yeah, but we need to get online because Old Navy just got online. You're like, get out of here, Corolla. That's what you're doing with my pedophile.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just not seeing. I don't have the foresight that you do.
Well, thank you.
I love the foresight. I love the outside the box thinking.
Yep.
I love the challenger mentality, as they call it in the industry, the challenger brand.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you can come back from almost anything. No one's ever come back from child molestation.
Yet.
Until.
Yet. I'm not saying it won't ever happen. I'm saying we are 0 for 100. There's no Gary Glitter comeback. There's no... Who else is in the child molestation?
It would be unprecedented.
Yeah. There was no precedent for that.
There was some weird... Was there some weird, like... Peter Gabriel stuff or something?
No, Pete Townsend.
Pete Townsend.
He was
English Peter,
He got off the hook, too, because he was found with child porn on his computer, and he claimed it was for research, and they bought it. I mean, that was a defense that worked.
He
was apparently researching a project. I think he himself was molested when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, though? Now I'm thinking about Roy Moore, and like he almost won whatever it was.
But he didn't. I mean...
But the tide is turning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're that's right.
My
exactly.
Point. That's my
exactly.
Point. That's
insult
my
2018.
Exactly
that's,
right.
Wow.
All right. So
we got to get off this rock
again. You guys are thinking it like it's 2018. We're moving ahead. Imagine where we're going to be in 11 years. And not only that, my feeling with Subway is what I'm saying is lock him down now because he's going to be in demand.
Yeah.
Big time. And you don't want him going across the street.
Yeah. Schlotsky.
His one phone call Schlotsky. A week is going to be taken up.
You don't want him going to Jersey Mike's or anything, right?
Nope.
No.
Wow.
Firehouse.
I don't think... I thought there was a debate to be had. I don't think there's an argument here.
Well, my feeling is let's just lock him down with a retainer.
An option.
You know what I mean? Like an option. We'll just lock him down and then Jersey Mike's have to buy us out or... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sound.
Yeah. Thank you. Christy? Always ahead of the curve.
Care to weigh in?
I'll check with her.
We'll get her on the phone tomorrow if you
But make sure
can.
She understands the whole scope of the argument.
All right. Speaking of food, pizza zodiac signs. Now, I want you to think about what you like on a pizza and the zodiac sign. I had, somebody tweeted me this. So I had this moment, and Dave Damashek and I got into it a little bit on Good Sports. I think it's coming up later in the week. But I had this weird moment where I was down 2 weeks ago down at Paradise, where that's where James Garner's trailer, Double Wide, was parked for Rockford Files back when he lived at the beach. He lived in a trailer, like at the beach. Anyway, it's down there. And I ran into Danny Two Sheets, Danny Kelson's wife, Diane, who's a delight, and we're just like talking, and she had her mom from out of town and another like couple from out of town, and we're talking about getting food or pizza or the kids or something. And we got into, what do you like on a pizza? And I said, you know, sad, but I kind of like a Hawaiian pizza. It's not my favorite, but I like it. I like it. And they said, oh, so all right. And I said, yeah, but I can't order it because if Jimmy's at the party, he'll make fun of me and I'll have to go eat it out in the parking lot. I'll have to meet the guy out on the curb and don't bring that one in.
Stuff it in your gullet.
Right. And then I thought, you know, we judge pretty harshly because Canadian bacon is awesome. So you're like halfway there. Yeah. No one judges about Canadian bacon. But either way, had this long, funny story about them going, well, why don't you just get, you know, Hawaiian style? And I said, why? Because her husband, Danny Two Sheets, would raise a ruckus. Mm. And then he'd rat me out to Jimmy. And then Jimmy would raise a ruckus. And I'm not emotionally up to it. So I order, order meatball or sausage and onion, which I enjoy a lot. But I enjoy a little more. And I'm also the guy who has to do the, let's just get a cheese and a pepperoni. Hawaiian style. I mean, I don't like it, but one of the kids might enjoy it or something. You know, it's like trying to sneak it in. And then I go over there and look around and then grab that. So I had a long discussion about being a Murano. You can look up the definition with my Hawaiian style pizza. It's like Jews in Spain or something.
It's a Nissan
cleansed.
Yeah, it's part of Italy.
And
type of glass.
I ordered. I said we got a long discussion I've never had before about liking the Hawaiian style. And then 2 days later, I was sitting home and somebody tweeted me your zodiac sign and the pizza you like.
Oh Lord!
And I was like, oh well, this is gonna show once and for all this stuff's a zero. And because they're always wrong or whatever. And then I went to Gemini and it was like, Hawaiian style. And I was like,
wow.
Oh, boy.
You know what? Maybe that's some science to this.
Just kind of talking about that. And then I went in to share my scientific findings with Lynette. And then she said, what's my favorite pizza? And I said, what's your sign, sweetie?
When's your birthday?
It's only been 20 years. And when's your birthday again? So I can look that up. So I now ask everybody to look at their sign. Because the thing that was weird for me is I'm not a... You know, Hawaiian maybe wasn't number one, but it's kind of number two for me. But I did have a long Hawaiian discussion and then landed right on it. So can everybody figure out their sign?
And just so you know, we're not cheating. At least Brian and I were asked this a few days ago and we said why and he said never mind. So ours are already locked in.
Okay. So what do you got, Gina, and how far away is it from yours?
Mine is... Dead nuts on.
Uh-oh.
Dead nuts on.
Oh, no.
I said pepperoni, and I am a Taurus.
All right.
So there you go.
It's pretty pedestrian, but still dead nuts on. There's only
pepperoni mushroom.
There's only one pepperoni up there, and there's only one Hawaiian up there. So are we two for two now?
Yep, so far.
Well, get the shitting on the point song ready.
I don't really have a point.
I am shitting on the chart song ready because I am a Virgo, which says practical, which is very true. I think you guys will acknowledge I'm very practical. It says four cheese pizza. Four cheese is fine. It is towards the bottom of the pizzas I enjoy.
It's not really a topping.
You got to have some sort of meat. I prefer sausage and peppers is the best. Sausage and onions, some version of that.
Good.
So four cheese is not really my sweet spot.
Whenever someone says, what's your topping? And they say extra cheese.
Yeah.
That's just not a topping. Yeah.
More of nothing?
Look, I'm convinced the margarita pizza is getting sold only on the name because a leaf and a tomato that's bleeding out is not a good topping.
Dice
it's the
that
name.
Basil, man. Chiffon that basil. You know, don't put on one big leaf. You got to cut it up.
Yeah, and then add a little sausage. Max Pata, where are you landing?
I'm a Scorpio. This says red pepper flakes.
Spicy.
I say get the F out of here.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Dawson? They put burritos on pizza?
They do at the burrito-ria. I'm a Pisces, and it says I just go with everything, but I like pepperoni, and I despise Hawaiian.
But you go with the flow.
But is there a type? It's just question marks?
I like question marks on my pizza, apparently.
Yeah. So they go with whatever the group consensus
whatever somebody wants.
As long as going with the flow means meat,
then
I'm in.
Well, you're a little bit. I mean, you got someone else is buying and bring the pizza on me. It's a little bit of you.
Yeah, whatever the group wants, that's my sweet spot. Because if people are getting like five pizzas, I'll eat whatever shows up. Veggie, meat, whatever.
Except when there's pineapple involved.
I'll eat that.
I'm finding myself being a little overwhelmed by the pepperoni these days. A little too much per square inch. And I'm getting all pepperoni and it's too salty. It's salty. It's super salty. And they lay it down. The thing that's weird is pepperoni... they put together like it's a fucking puzzle of a covered bridge. And I was like,
Tetris.
I get everyone. There must be no daylight between any of it.
Yeah.
And then I order the sausage. And it's like, well, there is part of a sausage on the one side.
You have to nibble your way to the sausage.
Yeah, where's the sausage? Yeah. Like, if you gave me the sausage, don't look at me, Maxipata. They overwhelm with the pepperoni. Pepperoni's fine. It's absorbently salty. And when they lay it down, it overwhelms. It becomes the flavor of the pizza. It becomes this weird, salty, briny flavor. They spread it out, or for sure, just give me the sausage or the Canadian bacon or whatever and do it like you do the pepperoni. Yes. They're so thorough with it. It's big pepperoni.
The rule of thumb with all toppings, whether it's pepperoni or the aforementioned peppers or onions or tomatoes or the leaf, chop them small so they're bite-sized, that you get bites of them. You don't want to have to rip it off.
Good point.
Chop it all small,
all right.
People.
So anyway, that was far as I got into that world.
So this is as far as the zodiac sign world you've ever gotten is how it relates to your pizza topic.
All right. Our guest is here. We'll bring him in a second. We'll ask him about the Beastie Boys.
Will we?
Brian. I mean, well,
didn't
Brian,
he write a book about it?
Brian's going to make.
I've been doing some research.
He's doing
this.
Some research.
Yeah.
We call him Bob Hilburn. And he's he worked for the LA Times for like 33 years as a music critic. Let me ask him. He knew my friend Shelby Coffey ran the place over there. I'm guessing you know who the editor-in-chief is when you're working there.
But he's here to promote the Paul Simon documented biography. I know I mentioned this before. Prefer solo Simon over Simon and Garfunkel. I think I'm in the minority.
I think it's a kind of a photo finish, but I agree. If I give him the option,
there's
I'd rather
room on my plate
himself.
For both. But I prefer solo Simon.
Well, I'm going to say Grace you guys Land. Are young and that's what you grew up with. But
we grew up with both.
I love Simon and Garfunkel, but I love Graceland. I love Graceland.
I can't figure out what bothers me about that, about Graceland. I never liked it that much.
I don't think you like Zydeco music. There's a lot of Zydeco on that.
It feels kind of, I don't know. It didn't feel like Simon Garfunkel. I like the old stuff. New stuff's fine. It's talented.
I think I'm in the minority. I'll admit
that. You and Gina both like Graceland.
Graceland's my favorite album.
Right. We also like Chicken Tacos.
Your favorite all time?
No, my favorite of Paul Simon or Simon and Garfunkel. I just want to listen to Graceland.
Were we listening to like Diamonds on the Soles of
Her
Shoes?
We were listening to
Graceland,
Child, which is not on Graceland, but one of my favorite songs.
Now you got to find a little Graceland. I don't even like that song.
Memphis,
I'm going to see. I'm going to Graceland. I don't know. It feels
African
sort of
skies or
feels like sort of Diddy-ish. Which one is this one?
It's Graceland.
Oh, this is it? Oh, this start off like one of the other songs or something. Oh, maybe not.
This is the one you're thinking of? This is Graceland.
Yeah, this is it.
This is a windows down driving song.
Yeah, I like his little solo here.
I don't call it a bad song. It's not. It wouldn't. Doesn't get to my top 5 or 10 of.
Kodachrome is sweet. Me and
yes,
Julio.
Yeah.
I like
the
those songs.
One of my all-time favorite.
I like
song. Late in the Evening.
I like the Mississippi
Delta. Mother and Child Reunion.
Yeah, I like that stuff you were talking about, Brian, more than this. This is fine. All right. I don't know. I found like he fell in love with himself somewhere around this time. But maybe that's me. I hate all world music. World music is always just a cop out to me. It's like play some jazz, play some real jazz. World music is like, we're going to populate the stage with 7,000 people.
You don't like the
weird
choir
garb.
And the drums.
If you're going to do that,
come on, everybody.
Do Chicago. If you're going to get a bunch of people out, I like this song. If you're going to get a bunch of people out there, do what Chicago did. And if you're going to do jazz, do real jazz. Do like Miles Davis or whatever. Do jazz. Stan Kenton or something. The world stuff just feels like, I don't know. You're hiding something. Don't trust
it. What are you hiding,
you're grafting
Paul?
Their gravitas on you.
Well, look, there's 100 people on stage. 80 of you are doing jack shit. Like, come on. Someone's playing a fucking hollowed out fish. Come on. Somebody do something. How about you get 4 guys who really kick ass? You know what I mean?
Did you ever see this movie, One Trick Pony? This came out in like 1980. No. 82-ish.
No. You know, I love Green Day. 3 guys all just kicking ass.
Rocking.
Opposite
they
of world music.
They don't hide behind anything.
No.
Put on Obvious Child for 1 second if you want a good drum. Good drum beat.
All right. It's fine. It's.
I love it. And this song's all about a boy named Sonny.
The rhythm of the saints.
I cannot be swayed.
This has a little bit of a Fleetwood Mac Tusk quality that I enjoy.
I have this weird relationship with this music. It's the same relationship I have with you, too, which is, I can't think of a situation where I sit around and listen to it.
Aww.
Even though it's good. Like, I'm same way with U2. Like, U2's a good band, and I'm never going to sit around and listen to U2.
The opposite? Jimmy Buffett. You know exactly when and where to listen
right.
to.
Right.
For ambiance.
Yeah.
Sort of Catalina on a boat.
Sort of kind of that way with the Red Hot Chili Peppers a little bit, too. It's just like, I'm never going to sit around and listen to it. All right. We'll get into that. Well, Robert will tell us when he comes in here in a minute.
Who realized Paul was going to be such a hot button issue?
Well, there's nothing, to be clear, there's no Paul Simon stuff that I would ever typify as bad. I've never said, I'm trying to make things clear here. It's never bad. I just prefer this more than that. Okay. None of it falls under the heading of bad.
Fair, fair.
All right. Prince, who's insanely talented, has stuff that falls under the heading of bad.
Fair.
For me. That's the difference. And then so are the Rolling Stones. All right. Let me tell you what is good. Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. Rob, your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Help fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. It is 3 times. Three times.
Three times, fool.
3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Let's go there. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. Quickly. Oh, man. Fuck. Let me just mow through these calls real fast before we bring Robert in. Steve, 48, Cincinnati.
Yeah, landline people. Works a lot better than the cell phone.
Thank you.
Ace man, I've had this theory, and I need to run by you. So, for about 10 years, I've been convinced that girls don't get along with each other and are always uptight because they didn't get put through the urinal phase that all guys have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand there and look at each other, whether it's in the shower or at a urinal, and then you just deal with it.
There is a forced camaraderie.
Whereas women always get just segregated, and they just can never deal with each other and always fight.
You're right. That's why we always fight. Yeah. We're super uptight.
You're right. It's a baptism of whiz. I agree. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not that you know, they always fight. It's that literally when you say, what's the difference between guys and girls? And you always say, guys just get along, right? They'll fight, and then they'll hug it out, and they're back to normal. And a girl will hold a grudge and so forth.
Only at the urinal.
And I'm convinced it comes down to the urinal.
Yeah.
Well, I've said this many times. I like where your head's at, Steve. I've said when women complain, like, hey, you go to the ballpark or you go to the concert and the line's going around the block. Yeah, because you guys get a closet to do your business in. You don't get a trough.
You get a suite.
You have to hook arms and grab the other guy's dick and steer it. You know what I mean? Like, if you guys all just wanted to go back to back to back to back over a pot.
I do not.
You would get, that line would get moving. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to give up your dignity and not have to break it off and shut the door and go into your own compartment. If you had some equivalent to our trough, I mean, you think about like going to Dodger Stadium or one of those places is literally just a curb on the ground with a trough. You have 40 guys all pissing over the course of like 17 linear feet. That's a lot of whiz and a short period, you know, a short, small footprint.
Fellas, Adam,
that leads to the communal shower. You know, if you can pee in front of each other, you can shower in front of each other. Mm-hmm. Think of all the movies where there's guys, they're always laughing and joking in the shower, right? When's the last time you saw that? A bunch of girls and joking in the shower.
It's like he's never seen Porky's.
Yeah, right. They never laugh and joke. That's true. I'm going to investigate that.
It's bygone era.
All right, I'm going to get my clipboard and go down to Bally's, get access into that women's room and see what's going on in that shower. Come on, ladies, yuck it up. Let's go now. Eye contact. Let's go.
Am I the only one who, when in a restroom full of men, of course, a public restroom, will intentionally, at the urinal, intentionally attempt to make some noise with the urine, like hit the water, you know what I mean? Because otherwise you're just going against the porcelain. Everyone thinks you got performance anxiety.
Mm.
You know, somebody I can't pee in front of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is dying laughing.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
Laughter recognition.
I like that. I like where your head. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, you make a little noise, just a little splash.
Hey, Justin.
Yes, sir.
That's another whiz question. Oh, how many guys here whiz through the flap in their boxers?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I got you. All right, we did a poll. What do we got?
So we have Gabe and Matt go through the flap.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson and Kalen go over the top. Kalen only goes over the top if it's Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
Through the flap, I mean. And then Dylan sits down.
Mm.
And that's completely true. He's told me that before.
Yeah, no, I get it.
We have security info.
Yeah. And and then I go over the flap unless I'm wearing like dress pants and
over the top.
I mean over the top, and then I'll go through the flap.
He has a stranger hold him up.
Dylan's like, how could I get these pants to ride up even higher?
Yeah,
they're already. I know if I sit down when I go to the bathroom, it'll pull them even.
They're already cuffed at my knees.
Yeah, I'm already a Bob Denver of Gilligan's Island, basically walking around here. But now I'm really going to jack up these slacks. So this is just another attempt to get his pants even higher.
We got into this when Cesario was here one time, and he was an adamant through the flap guy. I'm an over the top guy.
Yeah, I mean,
especially nowadays, so many boxer shorts don't have the flap.
Like the boxer briefs.
Some just don't have them.
Yeah.
Dylan wears his pants so high.
How high does he wear them?
That if we built a time machine and went back to 1994, and we gave revered at that point, Bill Cosby, a choice between giving Dylan a lecture about his pants hanging down low or Urkel a lecture, he would pick Urkel.
Yeah.
Well,
that's saying something.
That's tough.
Saying a lot.
Saying a lot. All right. Let's see. Mitch has a job. It feels replaceable. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Adam. What's going on?
What do you do, man?
What's up?
What do you do for work?
I work for an alcohol distributor. I do retail wine in grocery stores. Oh. I mean, it's a solid job and all, but I mean, it's just like, so a lot of people are like, hey, I've listened to you for years, but honestly, I heard you first on Ben Shapiro's Sunday special, and then he had Mike Rowe on recently after. I was like, man, you know, it kind of just struck a chord with me. I was like, I need to learn like a trait, like something like, you know, have my own little business one day, like, you know, like a few employees,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And so I guess if you're a 24-year-old, you know, what would you do if you didn't end up doing like comedy like this as far as, like some kind of job that is profitable and you would recommend to someone?
I believe, I mean, there's a way to make money doing anything. That's what everyone does. And there's a way, I was a carpenter. I didn't make money. Obviously, there are guys who are carpenters, developers, career whatever, carpenters, make millions and millions of dollars. Like, also, there's a version of everything.
Most 24-year-olds in most industries are replaceable. There's very, unless you're, a baseball player, football player.
But I guess the reason I say replaceable is because, like, I could see it being, like, automated in the future. For, like, example, like, Walmart, they already automate their wine orders and stuff like that. So it's like, I could see the sales rep getting kind of phased out.
Yeah.
It's something like, having your own business, that's kind of where the power is at, especially in a small town where I'm from, like, we'll sponsor a Little League baseball team, something like that, give back to the community.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like, just have your own little piece of the pie. And I guess, like, what kind of skill would you want or would you recommend to someone? Because I don't know. I like building and stuff like that. Like, I could see myself doing that. And I looked up, Mike Rowe was talking, and, like, plumbers. Yeah, all the jobs that no one wants to do, that's where you can make the most money. It's like, shit, I'll do jobs that no one wants to do,
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, listen, plumber, electrician, all that stuff, it does well. So, by all means, get on it. There's less and less people wanting to do that, and they're always going to be in demand. And
it's not replaceable anytime soon in terms of computers.
It is.
It
is not. Hey, we should sponsor. Hey, Max, Bat, write this down. We're going to sponsor a boys soccer team, and we're going to put our name on the back of it. But my only caveat is the name of the team be called the Pussies. Okay?
It's tough sell.
I don't know. Well, you don't know that.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
No, it's a little tiger cat logo.
Text Christy.
That's 2018 thinking.
That's right. Hey, Grandpa. Yes, that's the rule. And look, I'll give him new cleats, the funky cleats with no front cleat. I'll give him that. I'll give him the little silk shorty shorts and everything. But they got to be called the Pussies. Hey, look, I understand there's standards and practice. If we want to call them the Wussies, that's fine. I'm flexible.
All right.
I'm not a weirdo.
The Pusses.
Yeah.
Chrissy's going to be getting some weird texts from me.
Hi, honey.
All right.
Chris texted me twice today.
Robert Hilburn is out there. He's a music critic. We'll bring him in right after Good Sports, the break in Good Sports. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
It's Mark Garagos.
We do a show called Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Sometimes 54 minutes.
And sometimes we've been known to do 48 minutes as well, and sometimes an hour six.
Either way, we round up. Best hour. like Mark Bill.
It's exactly like in 6-minute intervals, exactly.
Every Saturday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Subscribe to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe. With Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla. Every Saturday on Podcast One, Carolla Digital, and Apple Podcasts.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. We're talking about football yesterday. Go back and listen. We jump in on the Cleveland Browns, a team a lot of people are feeling very optimistic about. And when that happens, when universally everybody is in on a team, that means they're still a year away from actually being relevant. Witness what happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Everybody loved them in 2016. Damashek told you, no. Just bide your time. 2017 will be their year. That's the same for the Cleveland Browns. It's a year too soon to get in. I mean, how good are the Browns? They won zero. What are they going to go 11-5 this year and make a playoff run? Settle down. Temper expectation, everybody.
Yes, I completely agree. And imagine if you got hold of some of those guys in the dog pound and got to figure out what connects certain species and what fans to what, whatever, the Hogs with the Washington Redskins. Hogs have nothing to do with Redskins or Washington or anybody. Mm-hmm. I know how things happen, but it is kind of, I like to live in a world where that guy's called Stretch. Why? Because he's 6'9". He's 128 pounds. Like, oh, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I get why people are called. I like to live in a world where you know why people are called. Great. Whatever they're called. You know, you got old Blue Eyes and stuff like that. They had blue eyes, We get it. Sinatra had blue eyes. So the dog pound, I'm not sure where the dog pound comes from. The Hogs, they were big Hogs, big linemen. They had a big offensive
somehow
line.
Somehow it came from the largesse of the offensive line, I'm pretty sure is what they
and our the Hogs are from the size of the line. They had 300-pound-plus guys in a league with 275.
Jacoby, May, there. Grimm.
Right.
How many more can I reel off? That's it, I think.
And they were humongous dudes. It's also kind of weird when guys, half the male population secretly wants to put on a dress and go outside, but it's not really acceptable. You know what I mean? I mean, we live in Hollywood, and here you're hailed as a hero if you put on a dress and go outside. But in most parts of the country, you put on a dress and you go outside, you might get heckled from a neighbor. But if you take a look at all the Hogs, and in general, it always distills down to some form of cross-dressing. Because the Hogs must have been invented by a guy who wanted to put on a dress and go outside, but at 248 pounds and working at a steel mill, you don't want to do that.
Maybe
right?
This was his way of announcing to his pals, the first guy was like, you know what? I'm not going to hide in the shadows who I am anymore. This is me. And they thought it was hilarious. Marty, you look at you with you're 310 pounds and a mustache and you're dressing like a chick. Hysterical. Let's all do it.
Yeah. Cause you gotta, if you'd like to cross dress and it's the '80s and you live in a blue collar neighborhood in Virginia or something, you have to go, hey, you can't just put on a sundress and go outside. You have to go, hey, I got an idea. What if we came up with a fun nickname for the interior line of the Washington? You're the big dudes. Russ Grimm. So that guy's like 6'7".
Yeah, well, by the way, when are the ESPYs going to bring the Hogs up there? They're the trailblazers. Forget this Jenner jazz.
I know. These guys. So these dudes are big. So we should call them the Hogs. You know, it'd be funny. We should all put on like Hog's nose, like pig's nose with snout with the glasses and crazy cigars and stuff. And the guys are like, oh, good, I'll go get my Dockers. And the other one, whoa, hold on. You haven't let me finish. What if we put on dresses?
What's that have to do?
Well, we're making fun of the Hogs. We're making fun of the linemen. They're linemen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but we're fans of theirs, but I don't understand the connection. I get the Hog part because they're big and we're big, but what? I don't understand the dress.
Sounds like someone else needs an apple teeny. You need to freshen up on your apple teeny,
I mean,
teeny,
I'm pretty
Bob?
Open-minded. I just don't understand if you can explain the connection, I guess I could be convinced to do it, but.
Well, here's the connection. We call them Hogs. We're going to dress like Lady Hogs.
Yeah, but I don't understand why we're attaching gender to it at all. It doesn't seem to have any relevance in the...
Well, Hogs are all... I feel like most Hogs are chicks.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not a zoologist, but I'm pretty sure it's about 50-50. It would be my guess, at least, that it's, you know...
Saying. I'm putting a dress on and going to the stadium.
Maggie can come with us. I mean, she can maybe
wear leave my
dress.
Wife out of this. We don't talk after the incident.
Yeah,
she's a heavy set woman. She's got some extra downage. Are you a taffeta guy?
I'm gonna go moo moo. Can I do that?
Okay. If you want to be seen out, you're gonna make an ass of yourself at RFK.
I thought we were gonna be swine, not asses. Either way.
Oh, yeah.
I did with the word.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. Anyway, I'm putting my dress on now. I know the season. I know it's
what
July.
What the hell was that? No.
Why? Are Hogs girls?
No.
Dylan? They're not girls. They're just pigs, right?
They're just pigs.
All right. I don't know why I looked at Dylan. I said girls or something. He pointed at me.
What did pigs do to deserve so many names? They're pigs, swine, sows, hogs. What gives? Aren't they all the same?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like turkey's got to be like, come on, what?
Exactly.
How about a little love over
we
here?
We talked about that forever ago when you were interviewed by the New York Times woman, and we pointed that out to her. And I remember that was the one thing that that made the written piece back like 12 years ago was that we debated that certain foods, certain animals we don't want to, as humans, we don't want to eat a cow.
Right.
So we eat beef.
Right. The hog, I do feel that most dudes, a fair group of guys secretly want to put a dress on and go outside, but we need it to be okay. And this is sanctioned cross-dressing. This is embraced and cheered, underwritten, thanks.
If you were the Buddhist monks, if that was the team mascot, then you could wear the full-length thing, and that would reflect what the team is.
Right.
The this is a team called Redskins.
Right.
And the subsection of the team is the Hogs. And somehow you feminize it. Odd move.
I would also contend, and if any of these guys had a heavy set wife, it is a slap in the face to her, who's probably struggling at home with the Jenny Craig or the D'Amelio at the time. I would also say this, Dylan.
It's a passive aggressive message. Yes. This is what I have to lay down with every night. How do you think that makes me feel?
The thing about the Hogs is, they became more feminized over the seasons. They started off as just big dudes wearing funny pig noses and smoking cigars. At some point, they became full...
Skipping lunches so they can go to the dress shop. Oh, this is going to look dynamite for the Cowboys game.
It was full cross-dressing at the end.
Ooh, 2 weeks from now, the Vikings are in town for Monday Night Football. This is going to be a beautiful look.
I need to find the Hogs at the end. At the end of the Hogs' reign, I think they were all chicks at that point. Now, let's say what you will about Barrel Man, but Barrel Man never got a pink barrel or an hourglass barrel. He stuck with the same whiskey barrel he started off with. The Denver Barrel Man had boots, a cowboy hat, suspenders, and a barrel.
Could he ever sit down, though? That's the question. You're really committing to being on your feet for about 5 hours you're wearing a barrel.
I know. He's dead, dude.
You can lay down or you can stand up. Oh, he's dead.
He's dead. And
Rest in peace.
But he never changes luck.
Rest in peace in your barrel.
And Rainbow Head.
He's dead. Oh, no. He went to jail.
He went to jail for... like kidnap and murder or something.
He did something very dark. You're right.
He had an insane thing. He used to sit in the end zone with a rainbow head on and do the John 3:16 when they kicked.
But what was crazy about him is, and in 2018 with media coverage accelerated from where it was 25 years ago. Imagine the largesse of that guy now versus how big he was already. He was at every game. And he always had the seat right that was on camera. It was between the goalposts or it was behind home plate. Any game that was relevant, that guy somehow got tickets to it.
If you would have gotten hold of me when I was 14 and a half and said, like, most famous Americans, I'd be like, well, Abe Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Morgana, the Kissing Bandit, John Kennedy, and Rainbow Head, right? Or not necessarily in that order, but those are the five.
I hear that there's some plus size dudes in our nation's capital, though, that are considering wearing dresses in homage to their team Redskins.
I have the Hogs through 10. Those are my first. they're all women at the end. We're looking at them at the end, right? They're all women. Wearing women's dresses at the end.
It's even weirder because they aren't Hogs. They're Hoggettes, which implies that they are the misses of the offensive linemen, which I don't know that Joe Jacoby was ever there. Like, I don't appreciate that, fellas, what you're implying, that I'm with one of you.
Well, I just wish it was a 70s sitcom where the boss would see one of the Hoggettes and go, oh, who is this enchanting mistress? And it's really his factory worker, but he doesn't recognize because still got the beard and mustache and still morbidly obese.
Tootsie is a gem. It is a classic movie. It's a wonderful script. Bill Murray and Dustin Hoffman and everything are great in it. But Charles Durning falling in love with Dustin Hoffman as a woman, it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yes.
He's in love with her.
All right. Let me tell you, speaking of Hogs, let me tell you about ButcherBox. 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork delivered to your door on a monthly basis. Humanely raised and never given antibiotics or hormones. It's hard to find this kind of high quality meat, and it's hard to find the kind of stuff you can trust. This stuff is the best. I started getting ButcherBox. I got a fridge and I put it in the garage. I have such an embarrassment of riches of beautiful ButcherBox beef and chicken, and I have Olga, the nanny, whip that stuff up every night.
Hey, Butcher and Block, so, I have an extra fridge in my garage, too. Mm, for real.
Yeah. Well, if you called them Butcher Box instead of Butcher Block, maybe you could get some free beef.
I'm playing hard to get.
Oh, smart. Each box comes with at least 9 to 11 pounds of beef, just $129 a month. Less than $6 a meal, free shipping nationwide, except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment, cancel anytime. It'll change your life. And if you're on the high protein diet, it is a must. And offer $20. Got an offer, $20 off, plus free bacon in your first box by going to butcherbox.com using the discount code Adam at checkout.
All right, good stuff, Ace. We'll be back with the Wednesday episode of Good Sports for you. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.